All right, everybody. Welcome, welcome. I'm John, if you don't know me. And like Deb this morning, the Lord interrupted me while I was putting my mascara on, too. So, and I'm naked from the knees down, so I apologize. So the Lord also changed my topic yesterday. I'd studied all week, and then yesterday, he wound up changing it. One of the things that when we, the four of us, were up here talking, one of the things we didn't really mention a lot was worship, because that's near and dear to my heart, because I've been leading the fellowship here in worship for 16, 17 years. I think maybe we made some assumptions on stuff, because I don't think that things are going to change a great deal. I think we want to continue to learn how to worship God deeper. I think that's extremely important. And what I want to talk about this morning is a little bit about how I feel and sense our services would go, and what I want to do is read a decent portion of scripture. And I know some of these are, he's going to read a lot of the Bible, and I want to tell you, Joshua, after he dealt with Achan and kicked Ai's butt, he read the entire Torah to everyone. So everyone sat and listened. And so, be thankful. We're not doing that this morning. But we're going to do some reading here. So if you have your Bible, I want to start off at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you will indulge me, I'm just going to read. Okay? And we could stop it. Revelation 22, I don't know. All right. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren. Everybody there? I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for all, for the profit of all. Now, quickly on that, the world is so busy celebrating diversity. But I don't think God celebrates diversity. I think God celebrates when we come together, when we're in unity, when we are one man, one new man. And so, you know how there's this saying that says, everything before the but is not true. Everything after it is. And you have all these lines, but the same Spirit, but the same Lord. But the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of us for the profit of all. So it's about all of us. God is not into your personal little agendas, pettiness. He's into our coming together and being one. And that's love. That's His love. When we can, because our nature isn't necessarily love. Our nature, our old nature, is not necessarily that we come together. You know, we want to go to war. And you know, God does too sometimes. He has to. But His primary goal is love. And that's where we have to go. That's where we have to practice. So keep going on here. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And you gotta love children. The reason we're called to be childlike, I think, one of the many reasons, is a child can look at somebody who is different and call them friend. It's much harder for an adult because we tend to see a little bit more of the outer shell of a person as opposed to the inner, where a child, all they want to do is have fun. All they want to do is have a friend. They just don't want to be alone. I can speak from experience. My kid does not want to be alone. A five-year-old boy wants a companion, man. And he doesn't care what you look like. He doesn't care what you smell like. He doesn't care what you sound like. He might say something, but he doesn't care. You know? So, childlike. Being childlike is going to help us get past our misconceptions, because that's what they are. We try to preconceive on somebody because that's how we normally work, because it gets done quick. You know, we don't even have to think about it. We've already sized somebody up, but we've done it wrong because we have a broken soul that needs mending. And I really want to go to Katie Souza. I hope it works out. Anyway, I've lost my place here. Thank you. For, in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? In the children. But now, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. The kingdom is opposite. The kingdom is so opposite of our nature. Evan prayed earlier today for Nancy about being God working on the inside out, and that is our God. He's the inside out God. He's working on the inside first. Because the outside of us, this is easy compared to what's inside for him. And I'm, you know, nothing is impossible with God. But the only way it would become impossible is if we say no. And I, for one, ever since we got back from Scotland and we saw this video at our parents' church called The Journey of Yes, and that has stuck with me. This is my journey of yes. I'm saying yes. I'm not going to tell you no, God. You want something from me? I mean, He gave me everything. How could I possibly say no? So this is our journey of yes. I'm reading this, and I don't want it to necessarily seem tedious to you, because we've all heard this before. We have heard all of this. We've read it a bunch, and I'm letting the Holy Spirit interpret the scripture for you. I want it read out loud so that you can hear it, because this is where we are. This is our church. This is us. We are prototypical. I don't want to be like every other church, not for the sake of being different, but for the sake of that's what God's called us to. And we're a different flavor than the people down the street because it's a different place, different ground. Yeah. Truman, where was I? 30, which one? 24, okay. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Isn't that interesting? Honor to the part which lacks it. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. How often does that happen? Rhetorical question. How often are we seeing this happen? This is where we are. I'm telling you, this is prophetically where God is taking us. Where when one member suffers, all suffers. All suffer. Because that's love. That's the way of love. God darn it. 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles and second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. And then it goes over to chapter 13. And I won't read chapter 13, although it's probably one of my favorite chapters. Because that is the more excellent way. That is the better way, the way of love. And that chapter will tell us what love isn't and what love is. And so read it today on your own. I want to go to chapter 14. And I'm going to start here with verse 1. Pursue love. Pursue chapter 13. And desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. And Deb Feifalt has done some teaching on this, and I want her to do it again. Because I think we need to hear this again, because we've become lazy, some of us, in using that gift. And we need to use it more, because it's a gift. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. We know that. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues,
What shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who'll prepare for battle? So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. Just let the Lord speak to you on that. We want the tongues. That's not what this is saying, okay? I sing in tongues every day. And we have tongues just now, you know, and it was rich. It was beautiful. The interpretation part of it was what she said. And I also think with that, Nancy, that God is going to strengthen your walk. Because what I saw was you were actually painting on the ceiling with your feet. And so I think God has a new floor for you. So you have a new floor that you're going to be painting on. And to me, the feet represents your walk, but it also, to me, it represents peace. So there's going to be peace and rest in what you're doing. So, because you're also a mentor in it as well. You're mentoring artists. I didn't get a chance to share that, but that's what I thought. And I'm not sure you need any more interpretation on the tongue.
Yeah, and someone else will have something for her later.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's true, because that's down here. It's written in here. All right, where was I?
Nine,
okay. Thank you, Truman. All right, so, likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. And that's not a bad thing, okay? And just know that he's not upset here. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. And that means none of them is without their own power. Language has power. Our words have power. We need to remember that. Blessing and cursing is in the power of our tongue. And so what are we speaking? You know, because we have life, but we also have other things in our tongue that can come out. So always being careful with that, and I'm learning that. I'm not good, I'm not perfect at that. God knows. So there's power in the tongue, there's power in language. And that is okay. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Let it be for the edification of the church. Not you and me specifically. We are members of the church, members of the body, but the spiritual gifts are not for you and me. Right? They're for the church. So we need to keep that in mind as we're wearing that tool belt of the spiritual gifts. That this isn't for me. This isn't to make me look good. This is to, maybe it's to heal Deb Baxter, or maybe it's to set somebody free of something, but it's not for me.
Okay, thank you. Therefore, it's just hard to read here. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. So we have part of our answer there. We do both. We do it all. So tongues is not a bad thing. It's a great thing. But also, so is singing words that people understand, which we do here too, I think. At least I do. Okay, so otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet, in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. So we're being asked, we're being called to grow up. In the law, it's written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet, for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Probably. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Is that not our goal? That's our goal. That's the goal right there. Is that people know that God is here. That God is walking in it with his people, in his people, with his people in this house. How is it then, brethren, whenever, and this is Scripture 26, Rich and Gale quoted often. Maybe, I mean, they had a few scriptures that they loved more than others, as we all do. But this is one that really has set this fellowship on the course that it's been on, and I feel like this is the course that we need to continue on. Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification or for building up. So again, so like we said the very first Sunday that Rich was gone, when the four of us were up here, we're building. And edification is building. Edification is building. We're building. So we are all building something here. We all have a stake in this. So we want to build this together. And part of it is building up one another. And learning how to use the gifts that God has given us, which, you know, Pete often reminds me, John Wimber talked to, you know, how he thought of the spiritual gifts as they were all in a tool belt. And when you had need of one of them, like discernment, you bring it out. When you need a word to give to somebody, you bring it out. When you need to pray for healing, you bring that out. And I like that definition, because that there are certain people that have a stronger anointing in healing, and certain people there, I believe in that. But everyone can prophesy. Rich taught us that. Everyone can pray for healing. Everyone can love. It's a matter of choice. It's our choice. Everybody can. So we're only pigeonholed by ourselves, not by the Holy Spirit. So if we're being held back, it's us. Because He has already opened the door. And if you want to win the race, you got to start running. The door's open. All right. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God's not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So just let that, you know, let that sink into your heart. Yep.
If someone gives a tongue, or you feel like you're supposed to give a tongue, how do you know that there's going to be somebody that will interpret you?
It's called faith.
Okay.
Got to step out. Because if you know, I have never seen it here. Where God, yeah, God doesn't leave us at the throne, as it were. Yeah. Well, if you get a tongue, how do you know if somebody's going to have the interpretation? You may get the interpretation. It's scary.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you this: she was scared spitless before she started. And then I was watching her a little bit, and she started smiling. As the tongue started to flow, her countenance, she got more confidence in what the Lord was speaking. So, trust me, it's scary. I've done it a couple times. You've done it. It's scary, but God always shows up and gives the interpretation. Because he loves us, he's not in this to embarrass anyone. Not at all. Okay, so, and then the next verse, I don't know what to do with this verse. I don't know what it means. I'm just being transparent here. I've really not understood. I have heard that this next verse about women is more of a cultural thing for Corinthians, but trust me, women speak often in this church, and they have God things to say. So I'm going to read this. I don't necessarily know what it all means. And so I'm not embarrassed to say it. I just want to say that up front. Okay, because I don't want to get hit later. Let your women keep silent in churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it's shameful for women to speak in church. Or did the Word of God come originally from you? Or was it you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. And that's the end of the long scripture reading. So, order. God is into it. But it doesn't look like what you and I necessarily think it looks like all the time. I think sometimes we are really comfortable in a lot of order. But when things step out of it, it sometimes gets uncomfortable. And I kind of just would like to say to that, just be uncomfortable. It's not the end of the world. God's order, you know, I looked up that word, and an order meant to take aim. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you have a 5-point sermon, that you have 30 minutes of worship, that you have this, that, and the other, and it goes right in order, like the, you know, the service of a marriage or a wedding or something like that. The order of church is you take aim. You have vision. You have direction, and you're going for it. And that's what we want. I want order. I do want order. But like this morning, that wasn't on my list. You know. But it was, every artist should be glad, which we all are. It was orderly. It was God's order. So that's what I want us to be open to. And if you get a word, don't be afraid to share it, because that may be God's order. Okay? Are we good with that? So I'm not talking about crazy, you know, like there's no order at all in here, but God's order, whatever that is. We have order, but it's God. We're wanting God to direct us and take aim with us. And part of it is sort of, you know, not losing rank, because it talks about that in the script, in the lexicon that I was reading. It's an order of military. You know, military has big time order in it. I was never in the military. I just watched all the movies. So, now I kind of want to switch gears and speak more directly about worship. There's one thing I want to say about worship in our fellowship. And this one thing, it doesn't necessarily bother me. And that's speaking to other people, talking while worship is going on. It doesn't bother me because I can't hear it. Okay? So you're not bothering me if you're talking to people during worship, okay? But you might be bothering somebody else who's a bit more important than any of us. So I'm just doing that one word of caution on worship. Maybe you shouldn't talk to anybody during worship except to say, hi, how you doing? And then carry on with what you're supposed to be doing, and that's worshiping the King. The only person I don't want anybody talking to is my soundboard musician, because they have a job to do. And Kirsten's great at it. Jerry loves talking. So don't go talk to her while she's running the board. All right, so switching gears, I want to talk a little bit here about our worship. So I'm going to go to Mark chapter 7. And in Mark chapter 7, I'm going to start at verse 5. And so, you know, I don't want to read the actual verse just by itself. I want to read a little bit before and a little bit after. So you don't think I'm taking something out of context, because I hate that. Okay, it says, verse 5, it says, "Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?' And he answered and said to them, 'Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but with their heart, is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do.' He said to them, 'All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition.'" So, I really don't like tradition. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and I don't like it. That's why I was a perfect marriage for what Rich wanted, because Rich didn't like it either. And so our worship reflects that, I think. Now, what I don't want to do is set up an altar about our worship and call this is it. I want us to progress and move further on. I want us to grow. I want us to stretch. I want us to all of us, not just the worship team, but everyone. I want us all to move into a deeper place of worship. What does that look like? What does it sound like? I don't know. I don't know that. But I know that's what I want, because that's where I see the Holy Spirit. I see prophecy in there, intercession. I feel like the type of a worship leader that I am is a worship intercessor. I got a word from Don Potter once. He told me that he saw me, what was it, hon? That I was a, he said that I was a protector, a defender of the secret place. He saw me as a lion, and that I was a defender of the secret place. So I am, at heart, I'm a worshiper, but I'm a worship intercessor. And I know that our worship goes to those places. And will go even in greater measure. And so I don't want our worship to be in vain, but if it's in... However, if we hold on to any sort of tradition, like, well, you know, we've done it this way for 16 years, we've got to keep doing it this way. No, we don't have to. What is the Holy Spirit saying? And I pray to God that I hear Him. I pray to God that we hear Him. That we don't get stuck. Because I got stuck in a few ruts over the last 16 years, and Rich helped me get out. And so... You know, without beating me over the head, if you feel I'm stuck in a rut, tell me. Because I want to know. I want to make sure that we are where Jesus is, not where He was. Amen. So, the commandments of God, to me, are this. They're just... Matthew 22 says it, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So it's love. Plain and simple, it's love. That is keeping the commandment of the Lord. And that horse is going to die until we all start to walk in total love. Which is possible, I think. It's possible this side of heaven to love like Jesus. The closer we get to Him, and the more we behold Him, because the more we behold Him, the more we become like Him. So, What the way I term worship here is it's sort of it's family style, kind of like you go to those family style dinners. And what I mean by that is that we are able to worship God together, which is hard to do because you're always looking at everybody else. What are they doing? What are they wearing? How are they dancing? Ooh, that flag almost hit that kid in the head. We're looking at everybody, and while all the activity is nice, it's good, we need to be focusing in on the one we're worshiping. And so that's why family style worship can be very hard. But the reason it's great is because if we can focus in on the Lord, we worship God in the rawness of who we are and who He is. The pain, the joy, the suffering, the circumstances that we're facing. Worship is not an obligation. Worship is the answer to what He's doing and what He's already done. It's our reply, if you were. It is. It should be. It should be. I absolutely 110% agree with that. What I'm talking about is in context is family worship, where we come together, where there's music, where there's dancing, hopefully, where there's other cool stuff happening, where there's hopefully prophetic utterance. Art, yeah, family style. Because we have to all understand and know this one thing. The person that's flagging, the person that's dancing, the person that's singing, God isn't finished with them. They're not perfect. And neither are you. None of us are perfect, and God's not finished. He's still working to this very day. Even, you know, Rich was, you know, he's been saved 50, 60 years. And he's like, man, I'm still learning. And if we stay in that posture, maybe by the time we die, we'll be finished. You know, maybe by the time we go to glory, we'll be finished, but who knows? So we are all on a journey. But is our journey the yes? Are we going to say yes? Knowing this, you're going to go through pruning. And that hurts. Knowing this, that there's going to be pain involved, are you going to say yes again for today? Because the pruning, after pruning comes growth and maturity. If you don't get an infection. And what's an infection except for whining and moaning and complaining, and which, you know, that's the language of the other team. Not our team. But the hour is coming. And now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, Father God, I pray that our yes, our journey of yes, would be a constant. That today we would say yes. Tomorrow we would say yes. The next day we would say yes. Because You are absolutely amazing. the Father says that walk in your yes even though you're afraid. That is a healthy fear. Only if you're walking forward. If you are not walking forward, you have let fear defeat you. But if you walk through it in fear, you will defeat fear. And Alex, I have a word for you. The Lord showed me a Liberty Bell. And he says that your next season you will walk in more liberty. And the enemy's gonna try and break you in your liberty because he's jealous of the liberty that you walk in. The Lord tells me to tell you that there is responsibility in your liberty. But if you stay focused, the liberty will not fall. Your liberty will not fall. And the enemy can rage in his jealousy over you, but he can't touch you. He cannot touch you. So walk in greater liberty, brother. I really don't know how to land this thing. Because the Lord didn't show me. So I just pray, God, that you would help us all. Help us all to be guided by your Spirit. And help us to walk in understanding and walk through our fear and destroy fear. Lord, I pray that the giants in this house would just cast stones at the fear. Because he looks big, but actually he's a facade. He's a lie. You have power over your fear. You have power over anything that keeps you from Jesus. So I pray right now that this week that you would awaken our spirits to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And you would awaken us to the truth in that scripture. And you would awaken us to the new wineskin that we are in and the new paradigms that you are bringing into this body through every single person here, God. Thank you for activating people. You are bringing activation into every one of our lives for a purpose. And that purpose will be clear when all of us become more active in what we're supposed to be doing. So I thank you for these people. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. And bless them. Bless them way beyond any curse. Bless them way beyond anything they could ask or think. Bless them in the name of Jesus. And so right now, God, while we're ending here, I want to lift up Bill Ress and pray, God, with all my friends here. We ask that you would touch his body right now and bring peace where there is no peace and bring healing where there is pain and suffering in his body. And I pray, God, that you would bring his body back into balance in the name of Jesus. Amen. And if you need any prayer, please come up. The Dukas will be up here. Praying and Sarah and I and if anybody else wants to come up and pray, please come up and pray. But if you need prayer, do not leave. Alrighty? Bless you all.